Five gone. Raper on for Healy. They're all onside. Eddinghausen taken out of it, I thought, by Hasler. But it's a try. It'll be a try. Cronulla's got it. The little bloke has scored it. Paul Green. The little pilot.
He's got on a step ladder, Paul Green.
He flies light aircraft as a pastime. He's higher than a tiger moth.
He thought he was in a Cessna here. Up he goes for it.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the mighty, mighty Cronulla Sharks, the greatest club in the whole world. Often the term emergency pod gets thrown around and it's for all sorts of reasons, but today it actually is a very sad occasion and we thought we'd jump on and just say a few words dedicated to former Shark Paul Green, who sadly was announced passed away overnight or in the last 24 hours at least. And the rugby league world is in shock and the Sharks world is in shock as well, particularly the fans who lived through the 90s, supported the club through the 90s. If you're a younger fan, please tune in. You might learn more about Paul Green. And apologies up front. This is not scripted. This is not organized in any way. So it's not going to be a very fancy podcast, nor necessarily a long one. We're just here to express our thoughts on Paul Green, and I'm joined by Sharks employee and Sharkcast regular Gary Dover, as well as a guy who lives for this club and is a big Paul Green fan, and he's been on the show many times before, Michael from Canberra. So Michael, Gary, hello. Sorry about the circumstances. Thank you for joining. Michael, I'm going to throw to you. Just tell me what you were thinking when you heard the news.
I couldn't believe it because I saw the video of him walking around the field yesterday from Saturday. So it's been like 4 days past. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's shocking for a guy to die so young. I mean, he's only 49. It's terrible for his family and friends. So yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, and we should say that up front. Of course, that is the most important thing, his family and friends. They are the ones important in this scenario, and we send our thoughts to them. Gary, you're at the club now. You're working on a few pieces in memorial to Paul. What were your thoughts when the news came through, my friend?
Yeah, I guess the same as Michael, like just shocked to hear it all. Obviously seeing last weekend walking around the field, and you know, he was so stoked to be back and commented on the crowd and what a great night he had meeting up with all the old boys and how he was just stoked to be back at the club. And I've just totally in shock hearing the news today.
120 plus old boys at the ground. And no word of a lie, I'm not over-exaggerating things. Out of all of them, he would have been top five most excited visually, the way he carried himself on Saturday night, his persona to be back. He was really stoked. I was introduced to him really quickly and he was so nice. I think I'd met him as a younger guy in my life, but I have no memory of that. But I met him on Saturday night briefly and he was so happy to be there amongst his old crew and in our community. And then we saw the videos and the interviews. So it is shocking on top of, even if that hadn't happened on Saturday night, it's shocking anyway. But to have that recent memory from a few days ago,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's bizarre. Literally, I would have watched that video yesterday and he was walking around with, was it Dane Wheeler doing the ground and everything?
Yes.
For him to be now gone is a massive shock.
Not only a great player, but a great coach, achieved not the unthinkable, but he achieved the first ever, and I believe only, title at North Queensland. So did a lot in the game. Yep. What I'd forgotten about boys on a, you know, slightly lighter matter, I guess, is that he had his pilot's license. We're a smart cookie here.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that.
If you look at like the stuff on YouTube of him of that era, there's a couple of clips from like the footy show where he's talking about being a pilot and like what was involved in doing that. So yeah, he was a flew light aircraft. And I mean, apart from being a really great Sharks player, he was, you know, he took the Cowboys to a premiership. He took the Cowboys to another grand final that they probably never should have made. He did a lot in the game.
So came to Cronulla in 1994, brought to the club by one of our favourite coaches, John Lang. He obviously had his eye on him up in the Queensland competition and debuted for the Sharks in 94. took the Sharks to finals in 95-96, played with us in the Super League era as well, short era, of course. He played with us in 98 and then left for the Cowboys. Also had stints at the Roosters, Eels, and Broncos. However, his most games were at the Sharks by quite a lot, 95 games for the Sharks. When he came to Cronulla with John Laing and the whole John Laing experience, we saw a real flip in style of play, an emphasis on attack. And the highlight reel, if you go on YouTube and either search Paul Green or search the Sharks from that era, the tries they're scoring are ridiculous.
He was part of that really good side that made prelims and made the Super League Grand Final. He won the Rothmans Medal in 1995 as one of the premier players in the game. And, you know, this is in an era of halfbacks where, you know, Alan Langer and Ricky Stewart are still at the peak of their powers. Andrew Johns is emerging as one of an immortal player, and he won that award. In those 90s teams, he was really great. He played a lot of great footy for us. He scored in his first four tries in his first three finals games, including he scored a double against West in a game where we could have bumbled it away, just being silly. He took control of the match in the second half and scored off a scrum and scored late, and really good player for the Sharks.
So, Gary, you have to tell me how old you were, but what kind of period of your Sharks fandom was this for you? This was like early days for you, yeah?
Yeah, this was like super early on when I sort of just started getting really into the football. So, you know, I remember Paul and I remember what he did on the field, but he probably wasn't up there with some of the other people that I supported at the time. But looking back on what he's done for the club and what he's done for football and rugby league, since I started supporting, it's just, yeah, it's such a sad day for rugby league in general, not just the Sharks. So, yeah, we're obviously going to put some stuff out soon for the club and, you know, our thoughts and piece on that. But, yeah, I can't believe it, to be honest. I can't believe it.
No, it's a good point you make about it not just being a Shark thing. And obviously, we're a Sharks podcast. That's what we're going to focus on. But he did play at numerous clubs. He coached. He played for state and at an international level. I'm just looking at our 95 team, well, with Paul at halfback.
Won the Rothmans Medal. So, well, that was a big award.
Let's look at that. So, you got the likes of Richie Barnett, and I'm going to leave some guys out here, but you got Les Davidson, you got Adam Dykes playing a few games, you got Andrew Ettinghausen, Craig Greenhill, Mitch Healy, Robbie Kearns, Nathan Long, Tuera Nicow, David Peachy. I see Pierce people, I see Reaper people, I see Ritson, I see a Rogers, Sean Ryan, Dean Trister played a game. So that's the era we're talking about if you're not aware, if you're a bit younger and you, because we do have a lot of younger listeners, this is the era we're talking about. Tough forward pack, and off the back of that, some really excellent just backs that lit it up. The closest we went to glory was in 97 in the Super League Grand Final, but didn't get there. We lost to Brisbane. But yeah, in my mind, guys, just, I mean, looking at the stats and the ladder positions, you know, not the most successful period of our time, but in my mind, a really, at the very least, attractive brand of footy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Played great football. We scored great tries. We were very exciting. We had really cool jerseys. We were just, yeah, it was a great little period for the club, and he was part of that. And he played very well in it. And, you know, he, in 97, he played for Queensland in the Super League State of Origin thing. And then after that, he played for Queensland as well. So he was a really handy player. And he got crueled by injuries once he left the Sharks.
Yeah.
He got hurt in Queensland. He went to the Roosters and had a pretty good season in 2001. And then 2002, when they won the comp, he blew his knee to bits in the first game of the season against the Souths and never played for them again. And so he's very unlucky in that regard.
So he finished up in 2004 playing some games for Brisbane. But yes, very good point, Michael. As I said in the opening, this is a very ad-lib podcast. There's not many details in front of us, but the fact that he was so, I guess, crueled by injuries after he left the club in particular is a talking point in his career, because he could have done a lot more given his talents. Just looking at where we were before he and the John Laing crew arrived, the end of Alan Fitzgibbon and then 2 years under Artie Beetson, we're looking at finishing 10th, 10th, 13th and 10th. So they obviously needed a change there in both style and coaching. It's that first year, yeah, came seventh, made the finals in 95, 96, and then 97, as RCB pointed out, came second, losing in the grand final. And then in 98, we finished 11th, so probably time for a change again. But yeah, they did draw a line in the sand there. They drew a line in the sand. They were like, this is not good enough. And as a fan, I remember thinking, this is pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I'd say 95 is the first year I was really into the footy. Like, I'd been to a game in 94, but 95 was my first memory of, like, actually knowing what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember us going on this great run of games, winning all the time. And then we sort of crashed out in the semifinals. But, like, 96 was – that team was really good. That team, you know, on another day or maybe against another opponent could have gone to a grand final. Like, if we'd been on the other side of the draw and played St. George or Norths in the prelim, we probably would have made it. Unfortunately, we played Manly. But, yeah, I mean, he was really great. He was a key part of the game that sort of made me a fan for life, was at the ground for the semi against Brisbane. And he's part of the Peachy try.
Yes.
And he put in a kick for Richie Barnett to score over Saylor's head in the second half when things were looking a bit dire. And, yeah, he is a tough little guy. I remember he raced out and coat hanged someone and then didn't get suspended for the next week, and that was a big controversy, but he was cool, man. He was
There wasn't much of him, Michael. No, like he was
a little guy.
He was a little guy. And I was reminded of that when I saw him on the weekend. I was like, you're a little guy. But he did it all. He played two, I guess I'm gonna call them tests for Australia in the Super League year. It's a really sad loss, and it's sad at any time, but the fact that it's so sudden and the fact that he's so young is just devastating. Devastating stuff.
Yeah, he's a young guy, really, 49. Mm. And the fact that he was literally on the Sharks website, 4 days ago?
He was on their ground.
It's really bizarre. It's a bit like earlier this year I was standing waiting to get on a dolphin cruise boat at Jarvis Bay, and my friend said, hey, did you hear about Shane Warne? I was like, what?
Mm.
What do you mean? These are people from my childhood who are far too young, Sam.
Yeah, it is getting a bit heavy and serious now, adult life, isn't it? I mean, we've got a little bit of a group text, and young Josh just sent through something saying Paul Green with a sad, well, I'm not being lighthearted here, but with a sad face. And I was like, oh, this can't be good. And I just looked online and there it was. And there's some joy to be taken out of the fact that on Saturday night he was with his old crew and you know, well, obviously it wasn't a goodbye, but it was just, there's something in that, I think, in all seriousness, that is really incredible. And yeah, it shows that life is short, and it shows you never know what's happening.
Everything's so, you know, short and fragile. Like, as a coach, like when he lobbed in at the Roosters in sort of 2013-ish area and was the assistant, one of the assistants under Robbo. And then, you know, obviously got his go at North Queensland. And, yeah, they were good. That North Queensland team were good. They won a premiership. They knocked us out of the finals 39-0. And they knocked us out of the finals again when we were the defending premiers in that ridiculous game at the SFS. And, he got the best out of that team, in 2017 with no Jonathan Thurston there. Like, you know, maybe he'd done his dash by the end, but he brought a lot to the game, and, you know, he'll be sadly missed.
He was a good coach, and he was in line to get one of the positions coming up, one of the numerous positions you'd think coming up in the next season. Well, not equally as sad, but that's also disappointing given that he probably would have jagged a first-grade spot again. He'd been biding his time. Yeah, overwhelmingly just a very sad day for the league, the league world, and also in our little Sharks world as well. Michael, you were saying that you're at a game that changed your life that he was a part of. Is that what you were saying?
No, well, he played in the 96 semis, and my dad took me to the SFS. And
that was the one, yeah.
We beat Brisbane. The week before, he got us out of the mud against Western Suburbs in a game which, like, if you go back and watch it, we make, like, 400 breaks and then don't score. he actually got the ball over the try line to score points, which was very important in a tough game, in a game that, you know, maybe the previous year
where we lost both semis, having been up and in good positions, could have been very nervous. He did a lot of good stuff for the Sharks.
One of my great memories of him is just the style of football he played. And we talked about how small a player he was. He was your classic halfback. You know, these days in the very modern game, when they talk about your classic halfback, he's the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, he was a little guy. He had really good kicking game. I remember he would always jump in the air when he kicked. So he had a lot of time he had both feet off the ground.
Yeah.
He was another one of those guys that in the 90s, like him and Matt Rogers looked way too small for the jerseys that they were wearing. And they would sometimes get like sort of spun around in a circle by the opposition because they were just holding onto them. But yeah, no, he was a crafty halfback. He was had good kicking game. He was tough. Yeah, he was a really good player.
Yeah, he was. Did you meet him at all, Gary?
I had met him a couple of times. Yeah, he's such a nice bloke and, you know, so passionate about the club and about rugby league. And, you know, I only had a couple of chats with him, but all those chats that I did have with him, he was just a really great bloke. So he was such a brilliant man for rugby league, a brilliant player, a brilliant coach. And, you know, he represented so many clubs and had such a good career as a halfback, as we said, and was so tough and skillful, as you guys have mentioned. And, yeah, I'm trying to put together some stuff now for the Sharks, and it's just... It feels almost surreal to be doing it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really sucks. I remember when we knocked the Cowboys out in 2016, they interviewed him after, and he was kind of like, yeah, we lost. But I think deep down he was kind of happy Cronulla were in the grand final. Like, even though his team had literally just been booted out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he always had a real soft spot for the Sharks. And
I'm sure he was asked the question. I'm sure he was asked. I'm sure he was asked that question either directly after or during the week after. I'm sure that, and he basically said, yeah, well, of course I'm going to go for him. I wish it was us, wish it was the Cowboys, but I mentioned the pilot thing, which led me to think that he was a pretty opinionated guy when it came to the game. He never backed down from a verbal challenge. He was thoughtful in what he said about the game on air. He was someone that was interviewed heavily throughout his career, whether as a player or as a coach. Even after he was a coach, he'd pop up on different sort of media platforms. And I think that kind of reinforced the fact that he was a very intelligent human being.
Didn't he go on NRL 360 like the day he got sacked and had a long interview with them about things that had happened and, you know, what he was going to do next?
I guess my favourite memory is probably that Peachy try that he was involved in. But I just have an overwhelming positive memory of him being in possibly my favorite era of the Sharks, aside from the premiership year or whatever, but, and a really key element of that. And it was a John Lang thing, bring down all the Brisbane boys you've never heard of and let's tear it up. And they did. And the vision of him and help me out, Michael, who was his offsider? Langy's offsider? Shane Richardson. Richardson. Well, yeah, his vision with Cronulla, him and Lang as a team, to bring down these Brisbane players specifically. They had this great insight into the Queensland game, and that's what got us going in that era, and that's what brought the world Paul Green. So we should be thankful to those two guys in particular who brought them down. I don't know, any parting words, boys, before we sign off?
I hope Sharks put in a good performance for him on Saturday. I hope his friends and family, I just wish them all the best and I'm sorry for their loss. I think the enduring memory of him was him going berserk in the box after Kyle Felt put the ball down in the grand final. Like he nearly broke the glass. He was going berserk, him and all the Cowboys guys. So I'm sure the Cowboys are hurting a lot today as well. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a real hard one.
All right, Gary, I'm assuming, knowing who's in charge of the Sharks now, that they're going to be paying attention to that on Saturday on game day.
It's not just going to be game day. It's going to be in the lead up to the game and, you know, probably well beyond that. But, yeah, he was a brilliant man, a brilliant player, a brilliant coach. And our thoughts and prayers are definitely with his family and friends. And I'm sure Fitzy and everyone at the Sharks will be, you know, thinking of Paul and his family and friends leading up to this game and well beyond that.
Well said, boys. Thank you so much for stepping on here. I know you both are busy in your days. on behalf of all the Sharkcast crew, we do send our thoughts and love to family, friends, and fans of Paul Green. Just devastating news. Can't say that enough, I guess, unfortunately. It's unfortunate we had to do this podcast. If you have memories you'd like to share with us for the coming episodes, please jot them down, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. You can DM us. You can leave us voicemails if you want, hopefully not too long, like a minute or two voicemails. You can email those to sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and we can put them on air if you prefer. But we'd love to hear your thoughts, memories, and feelings on Paul Green. We do want to celebrate his life, and this episode is not necessarily supposed to be doing that because it is a little bit unorganized, but we just wanted to jump on and express our sorrow. So until we talk to you next time, please take care, and we hope that we get that W on Saturday. Thanks again, Michael. Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listeners. Up, up, Cronulla. Rest in peace, Mr. Paul Green.
Right on the halfway line.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the face. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I tell you, it is one of the best thumb moves you've ever seen.